Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Coming up, we'll talk to Ray Woodson about the Giants, but first I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. And by the way, TPC Harding Park has a special event coming up May the 7th through the 9th. Stanford is hosting the NCAA Women's San Francisco Golf Regional Championships at TPC Harding Park. Stanford, the region's number two seed, will be joined by top-seeded UCLA. Cal will also be there. So check it out, May the 7th through the 9th, NCAA Women's Golf at TPC Harding Park. Now let's get to the conversation with Ray Woodson. Well, Ray, just a few weeks ago, maybe just even a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the Giants saying, you know what, they hadn't won a series yet. It was such a big deal. Now they've won four series in a row, and despite the injuries that they've had, it seems like, you know, different players are coming through. They keep getting bad news on the injury front. I mean, just in the last week, Joe Panik had to have surgery on his thumb, and now we don't know about Johnny Cueto and how serious this elbow injury is. But yet they fight through it, and they're an above 500 team here as we speak.
Well, you know, Joe, it's sometimes hard to tell about what a team is after 30 games. Sometimes you can. I think with the Giants, what you can say is that they're starting to show a little more power. They are competitive. They're showing some, I guess the word is grit. You know, they pulled out some close wins. They actually had a come-from-behind win. When did we see that last year? In the ninth inning.
Came behind against the Padres.
So they've had some pretty good moments, and winning those series is a big part of it. But as you said, there's some storm clouds here because, you know, Johnny Cueto, what's going to happen with him? When you hear the name Dr. James Andrews, it's not good. And, of course, Joe Panik is now out 6 weeks, it sounds like, after the thumb surgery. Madison Bumgarner is just starting to throw again, and so it's going to be several weeks before we see him. You've got a starting rotation very much in a state of flux. They've held it together, though, so far. They have. And, this is compared to 2017. It looks pretty good. But are they going to be able to sustain it? I guess that's the big question.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if Chris Stratton pitches like the Chris Stratton of the first five starts that he had, that's promising because you still have a decent rotation when Bumgarner comes back. Because if you have Bumgarner, Stratton, Samardzija, I mean, that's a good top three, and we'll see about how good Suarez is. I mean, so far, he looks like he throws the ball pretty well. But really, I thought, you know, this team was really counting on Johnny Cueto because the way he was pitching, it's just been so great. He's been dominant out there. I mean, a 0.84 ERA. And when you first heard about inflammation, you thought, it doesn't sound that serious. But then when you start hearing about visiting Dr. Andrews in Atlanta, now you're starting to think, oh, boy, you know, this could be Tommy John surgery. So, you got to hope for the best, but it really doesn't look good when you start to hear that.
Well, it could be a tough position for them. I mean, they're going to get a couple of opinions here, and, you know, it's natural that you'd visit Dr. Andrews. He's got an office, I think, in Alabama and another one in Pensacola, Florida, so it's right there in the region. It makes sense to go visit him, but what do you do? I mean, is it a situation where you treat it and you kind of kick the can down the road and maybe make it worse later, maybe delay the inevitable? You don't know. Or do you nip it in the bud and get him the surgery he needs to continue his career because, you know, they've got him under contract. So it's going to be a tough call for the Giants on this one. It's very unfortunate because, as you said, Cueto with the 0.84 ERA leading the major leagues, and it's very, very good. He looked like the guy we started seeing at the beginning of his Giants tenure, and he's kind of been an anchor in that rotation with Madison Bumgarner out. So if he's not available, possibly for the rest of the year, depending on the surgery, and Bumgarner's not, and you're counting on Stratton, you're counting on Ty Block, you're counting on Derek Holland, Andrew Suarez, that's shaky, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, these young arms could step up. I like Suarez. He throws strikes. He doesn't mess around. Tyler Beede is, you know, having his struggles with the command in the starts he's had here. So it's going to come back to, well, the offense may have to score 5 or 6 runs a game. And they've woken up a little bit lately, but it's asking a lot to get all those pieces to fit.
We'll have more with Ray Woodson right after this. When it comes to Giants baseball, family memories are created one summer at a time. And the same can be said for your family vacation. How about an experience you will never forget? Shasta Lake is one of the most beautiful places to visit in California, and there is no better way to experience it than to rent a houseboat from houseboats.com. Jones Valley and Silverthorne Resorts are located on the Pitt River arm of Shasta Lake, unquestionably the very best area of Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there with rentals ranging from the finest and largest houseboats available for rent in California to entry-level models for small groups or those new to houseboating. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Let's get that vacation planned. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. Well, one guy that really has stepped up is Nick Hundley. I mean, he had the 4-for-4 game the other day, and Hundley is hitting actually, you know, better than anybody on the team right now. I know he doesn't have as many at-bats as other hitters that are regulars, but you might have to find more playing time for this guy. I mean, he's hitting .326, and I guess the only way to do that would be to move Buster Posey over to first base and put Belt in the outfield, and that's certainly a possibility. I mean, we still don't know really what's happening with Mac Williamson, if he's going to be okay, you know, come back, play every day. And, you know, there seems to be a little bit of an opening there in the outfield. I mean, they optioned Austin Slater down to AAA. You know, they wanted to carry 13 pitchers right now. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you try to get Hundley more playing time. He's swinging the bat great. He's hitting the ball to all fields, and he's hitting for pretty good power. He has 3 home runs now.
Well, there's the Bochy rule. If you hit a home run, you're in the lineup the next day. How about if you hit a home run and have 4 hits?
Yeah, and almost hit for the cycle, yeah.
Almost hit for the cycle. It's funny what he said. He said, yeah, I thought about getting that triple, and then I almost got thrown out at second base.
That's funny, yeah.
That's your backup catcher there, and we're looking at one of the best backup catchers in the game right now. But, you know, the thing about backup catchers is you get in the lineup more, eventually they get exposed. He's kind of been, you know, back and forth between his starter and back in his career, but he was a real good pickup for the Giants. I liked it when they got this guy, and he's certainly a veteran who will help those inexperienced.
Well, you look at Buster Posey so far, and, you know, he's not hitting for a lot of power, but he's getting on base. He's hitting the ball all over the field as well. I don't think there's any problem really with him, and maybe his batting average isn't as good as Nick Hundley right now, but I don't think anybody on the Giants is really concerned about that. But he had one of those great at-bats, Ray. You talked about the comeback the Giants had against the Padres, and the Giants have had 3 of those at-bats that were lengthy. I mean, I think his was 10 pitches, and then he drew a walk, and then eventually they won the game on the Hundley base hit. But they've had the Brandon Belt 21-pitch at-bat. They've had the Andrew McCutchen at-bat where he was, I think it was 12 pitches, and then he hit the home run against the Dodgers. So they've had these memorable moments this year as far as really good at-bats. It's something that you really didn't think about last year.
No, not at all. That's, as we saw last year, they had a lot of really bad at-bats. Maybe that Belt 21-pitch at bat raised the bar for everybody else. But this lineup does grind quite a bit better than the lineup did last year, and you've got some veteran hitters in there. And, you know, with Longoria, for example, he's not getting a lot of walks, but you can see the quality of at-bats is improving, and McCutchen and Belt. Unfortunately, Panic's out of there, and he gives you a quality at-bat. But what you hope for is, with this lineup, something we talked about at the start of the year, a little more depth to it, that a pitcher has to work harder to get through this lineup. I'm not saying it's the 27 Yankees or anything like that, but you know, you're seeing games where starting pitchers, opposing starting pitchers, are working in the fourth inning with 70 pitches. You know, they're running up the pitch count early, and you're getting into that bullpen. That's what you want to try to do. So they're doing a better job of that. But again, with all these injuries and everything in a state of flux, you know, how's that going to play out over the next 30 or 60 games?
What do you think they're going to do with Hunter Pence? I mean, he's there on a rehab assignment. I mean, I think he'd probably normally be ready to go back with the team, but he just seems to be in limbo right now. They don't know what to do. I mean, they want to get Mack Williamson back into the lineup coming off this concussion DL because he was swinging it great and he's showing power. Even if Pence has some good base hits in Sacramento, I don't know that they just plug him back in there in the starting lineup. Do you look at him as more of a bench player when he comes back?
I look at Hunter Pence as a fourth outfielder at this point in his career. Maybe. You know, if Mack Williamson was healthy, there'd be no question about it, right? You know, Mack was swinging the bat the way he was for a week or so there. You got to bench Pence. Now, knowing Bruce Bochy, he's going to want to keep Pence involved, right, and give him at least a spot start against a left-hander. But, you know, we don't know about Mack Williamson yet. We're waiting to see if he passes the stress test that you go through in the concussion protocol. If he does, then he's back Saturday. But then, you have Slater coming up and down. McCutcheon got hit in the elbow, you know, so that puts the outfield in a state of flux. Is he going to be able to come back right away? There's just a lot of question marks there. But when Pence comes back, he may be starting again, depending on what happens with Mack Williamson. So, it's just frustrating when you look at a guy like Mack Williamson and showing the talent that he has and the adjustments that he's made. And there's another guy who's giving you good at bats now and is a power threat. And he's been doing this the last few years. He gets going and then he gets hurt. It's you feel for the guy. You really do. And one of the rare position players who's had Tommy John surgery to interrupt his career. And now Corey Seager with the Dodgers out for the year with Tommy John surgery. How about that?
Yeah, that was a crushing blow, I think, for L.A. So all these teams experiencing injuries. One good piece of news for the Giants is that Will Smith is back. And I thought he was pretty impressive on Wednesday afternoon when he came in there. You know, it was a game that was a blowout. But you wanted him to have a clean inning, and he had a walk in there, but he was throwing 94 miles an hour. And he struck out a really good hitter in Hosmer, and he was pretty happy about it. I mean, when you saw him in the dugout after, he was giving high fives, nearly knocking off the hands of his teammates. He was so happy to be back out there. You know, I talked to him the other day, and he just seemed like he was just chomping at the bit to get back on the mound. It's just a lot of work to come back and rehab from a Tommy John surgery, all the laps you got to run and the workouts that you're doing, and you're not playing baseball. So I think he probably appreciates the game a little bit more, and the Giants are really glad to have him back. I mean, he's going to be a nice addition in that bullpen.
Well, you know, Bruce Bochy is really glad to have him back because you're looking at possibly three very effective lefties. Snelton, Osich went down for rehab assignment. You'd like to see him come back and be in the mix. Or Snelton, who's got that funky delivery, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got Tony Watson, who's been so good. And then you get Will Smith into the mix. And I've always felt like Bruce Bochy ideally would love to have three lefties in that bullpen, and one of those lefties who could get righties out, like Jeremy Affelt used to do.
Yeah.
So maybe Will Smith is going to fill that role. But number one, I was looking at velocity on his return, and he's throwing a 94, and it looks like he's thrown free and easy, and he was great to see. And you talk to him, and you know this about these guys who undergo Tommy John surgery. We don't see him for a year. They're like a ghost. Right.
Right.
We don't see the rehab and, how agonizing it can be. And you got to go get up again another morning and go through the rehab, and you're, 6 months away from your target, or you're 7 months away. You know, it just seems like it's forever. It's a rough road back. And when you finally get there and get on the mound, well, you saw it. The emotions come out. And it's just great to see him back on the field and be able to be an effective pitcher once again.
Joe Panik, when he comes back, I think he's going to want to probably be careful too. I mean, that's not going to be easy when you're talking about a hand injury, thumb injury. And he even said he wanted to be 100% ready to go, which means it's probably going to be more than 6 weeks. And I'm thinking all-star break before you see Panik. It's a pretty big blow, but at the same time, it's really good to have a guy like Tomlinson, who seems to be, pretty consistent hitter. He's been really good at coming off the bench, you know, pinch hitting, giving you a good at bat, hitting some line drives. And I, you know, Ray, I would probably play him more often than I would Hanson, even though, you know, Hanson hit that home run his first game. And I know, you know, he's a switch hitter and, you know, he could probably do some damage and he's got a lot of speed. So does Tomlinson, but apparently Hanson's the fastest guy on the team. But I like yep. Tomlinson. I like the way he plays the game now. He just seems to be, you know, smart about it. I'd probably give him a little more time than I would Hanson. What do you think?
Well, he's been around, you know, he's been around a while. He's settled in. And you know he can play a couple of different positions, and you know he can do a decent job. He does a few things pretty well. He's, you know, he's probably his greatest asset is his speed, but he will give you good at bats. And you know, one of those guys you wonder if the more he plays, he gets exposed a little bit. But we'll find out, right? I think he's going to get that opportunity, and it's a good opportunity for Hanson as well. And because he's a switch hitter, he could be able to start against a lefty or a righty, you know, depending on the situation. You might want to give Crawford a rest and put Tomlinson at shortstop, things like that. So they're not in a great place without panic, but it's not something that they can't overcome, at least in a period of a few weeks. This is what this season's been about, it looks like. It's just, how do you deal? How do you deal with all this stuff?
Yeah.
And they may be in a better position to do that this year than they were last year. You'd hope so. They weren't in any kind of position last year. But it's just going to be about holding the line and trying to stay as close to 500 as you can until the cavalry comes. And, you know, you get Bumgarner back and you get Panic back, and we'll see what happens with Cueto. A
couple things I want to talk to you about that we didn't get to because we talked before the Dodgers series. So over last weekend, Pablo Sandoval came in out of the bullpen, which is just, you know, really funny to see, but nobody expected him to go out there and throw 87, 88 miles an hour with his fastball. And even he told me, I interviewed him the other day, he said he didn't know he had that curveball like that. I don't know if he's just joking around, but that curveball was pretty good. So I wonder if we'll see him again. I mean, you know, it was only the fifth time in San Francisco Giants history that a position player pitched. I didn't even remember Dave Kingman did it twice. But I, you know, I wonder if they use him again.
I think they could. I mean, over a long season, you know, why not? A mop-up inning, it's better to have a guy like that out there who's a bench player. You know,
yeah.
If he gets hurt on the mound, it's not as costly as if you have, you know, a relief pitcher that you want to use the next day. You might as well have a position player in those blowout games, use up those innings. And, hey, he threw strikes for the most part. They hit ground balls, you know, give it another shot. And I remember watching on TV and Mike Kruko saying, yeah, well, the opponent doesn't know what he has.
You know, I mean, they don't. He doesn't know what he has.
He doesn't. Exactly. He didn't know he had a curveball, or supposedly. And he was throwing that at, what, 68, 69 miles an hour, and he threw the fastball at 87. That's pretty good separation right there. So, you know, I mean, yeah, we'll probably see it. The funny part is with the Hundley walk-off hit the other day, Bruce Bochy was saying that had they gone to the 11th inning, you would have seen Brandon Belt on the mound, which I'm sure Brandon Belt would like to see. He's been chomping at the bit to do that for a few years. But Nick Hundley deprived us of that moment.
Yeah, Belt's pitched, I guess, before in his career. I don't know when that was,
yeah.
But yeah. I don't think it was in college, but in high school, I believe. So to finish up, I think, you know, this is another topic that came out of the last weekend, but I think it's still relevant right now, was the benching of Cody Bellinger. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about it since. You know, I think a lot of people have taken Dave Roberts' side, including yours truly. Others have sort of said, you know, that was a little bit harsh, that, you know, he probably shouldn't have been thinking about a triple because it was a nobody out situation, and, you know, why risk that? And you know, he plays the game hard, and he was down on his knee when he swung at it. I've seen so many things on Twitter. But my feeling was that I thought Dave Roberts did the right thing there because, you know, when you hit one in the triples alley, that's a triple. I mean, unless you're a really slow runner, and he's not, you've got to make that into a triple. And I did see him go on his knee and maybe a little slow start, but to me, he still makes it to third easily. He just kind of cruised into second base, and I don't know, maybe there was an issue before. I don't know that he ran out every pop-up the entire year, and I think the manager every once in a while it's his, you know, he's entitled, I think, to make that move to try to get the team going a little bit, for one, teach a lesson to a young player. It's not like he's going to bash the guy for the rest of the year. I just think it only helps the team. I thought it was a good move by Dave Roberts. What did you think?
He could have gotten a triple, without a doubt. You know, so that's number one. If you've got an extra base and it's available to you and it's not high risk, even if it's nobody out, I think you do it. And you hit into triples alley, and he's fast enough to get there. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And we talked about this last week, didn't we, about Bellinger, about not running out of fly ball?
Yeah, I think that happened in a previous game. Might have been like Friday or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, Friday night we talked about it. So this is evident to us, you know, and we're not watching as closely as Dave Roberts. I think he felt like he needed to send a message to a young player who's very talented. It reminded me a little bit of, and I don't know if you recall this, but Andrew Jones, very early in his career, didn't hustle out for a pop fly in center field. Bobby Cox yanked him from the game and just got into his grill. And, you know, with Andrew Jones, you know, he's kind of a laconic demeanor. And
I remember that, yeah.
Always had that smile on his face. And so you looked at the talent that he had, and Bobby Cox at that point felt like he had to send a message to a talented young player. Well, Andrew Jones ends up winning multiple gold gloves, one of the greatest center fielders ever defensively. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that there are moments where you have to send that message to a young player. And I think with the Dodgers, too, it's like you said, they have to try to shake things up because they're scuffling at the start of the year, and they're dealing with injuries, and they're going to need a guy like Bellinger to be an anchor, maybe asking a lot, but, you know, they don't have Justin Turner. Now Corey Seager's out. This is a guy that needs to be locked in. So I totally understand the move by Dave Roberts. And, you know, the Dodgers may be going through one of those years where nothing's going to work, but you don't know that yet. And so you got to try what you can to kind of kick the team in the seat of the pants.
Yeah, I think it's the responsibility of the manager to do something like that. And, you know, it seemed to come off actually fairly well. I mean, I know that Bellinger was sort of defending himself a little bit to the media, saying, you know, that's manager's decision, but that he doesn't dog it. But if I think he really had to think about it and look at Triples Alley and know that you hit one there, I mean, that's got to be a triple. You know, this wasn't Reggie Jackson and Billy Martin. Remember when Billy pulled him out of the outfield, I think, in the middle of the inning, right? And they just go at it. That's not what this was, but this, I just thought it was a good lesson.
That's what you do early in the career. You know, when it gets to the point where you're, you know, Reggie Jackson playing under Billy Martin, you're kind of set in your way.
You know? Right.
I was actually watching that game that day live when it happened. It's like,
wow.
Oh, man, you know, this, you know, the clubhouse is going to be a lot of fun. As we found out, it was real interesting back in those days. But I think for the young player, like I said, this is a critical moment. And I think it's if he's a player who takes the game to heart, and I think he is, then this will serve him well down the road. And, you know, just thinking real quick about Andrew Jones and the Braves, and the Giants are going to Atlanta to face the Braves, and there's a young player named Ozzie Albies, second baseman for the Braves, who's just super talented. He had 22 extra base hits in the month of April, which I think is the second most ever for a debut player. And he looked up to Andrew Jones. He's from Curacao. And just interesting to see how the efforts of Major League Baseball and Andrew Jones to get the young players involved in the sport down there. And it bears fruit with one of the most exciting young players in the game. And then they have Ronald Acuna as well, who just got called up. 5 extra base hits in his first 5 games. They're calling him the Baby Braves. And Mike Soroka come up and have a great start. He's 20 years old. Albies looks at Acuna as his little brother. Albies is, what, 21? Acuna's 20.
Yeah.
Soroka's 20. I mean, and they're leading the NL East. That's a team to watch, and that's also a team to watch to possibly go after Manny Machado before the trade deadline. And the Dodgers may be another one, by the way. That's going to be one of the big storylines coming up, is what happens with Machado with the Orioles off to a terrible start.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing the young players the Braves have. It's going to be fun to see that series. Then on to Philadelphia and on to Pittsburgh. Long road trip for the Giants. Look forward to talking about it with you next week, Ray. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it should be fun. And by the way, going to Philadelphia, they've got some young talent, too. They're right behind the Braves. They got Rhys Hoskins, who's one of the exciting young hitters in the game. And then Andrew McCutchen returning to Pittsburgh.
That should be fun. All right, we'll talk about it next week, Ray. Appreciate it.
Sounds good, Joe.
That's Ray Woodson. And catch him on Dubs OT, our Warriors podcast. The next edition will be on Saturday after the Warriors play Game 3 of their series against the New Orleans Pelicans. And we'll be back with Ray to talk Giants baseball next week. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.